This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham, sitting in for Cynthia Canty. There's a fruit. It's native to North America. It's plentiful. In the past, it was pretty popular, but one that you might not have tasted. The pawpaw has this kind of custard-like flesh that tastes a little like banana, maybe mango, and if you're lucky, you can find it at farmers markets in this area right now. We stopped by one and asked people what they liked about the fruit.
I thought it was awesome. It's like sweet and fleshy, if that can be a taste.
Combination between a mango, banana, and papaya.
They're delicious. It's kind of a cross between a banana and a mango.
Love the flavor of it, the juiciness of it, and that it is local.
Well, there's a new book out called Pawpaw, In Search of America's Forgotten Fruit. It was written by Andrew Moore, and he joins us now. So, Andrew, I have to tell you, I found out we were going to be talking about pawpaws, and I thought, well, I better go find some because I've never tasted the fruit before. So I bought some less ripe ones and some fully ripe ones and brought them back to Michigan Radio to share with my colleagues here. And most people had never tasted them. Most of them seemed to like pawpaws, especially the fully ripe ones. But a friend told me that the uglier a pawpaw is, the better. What does she mean by that?
Well, that also has to do with preference. But she's onto something when she says that. So as the pawpaw ripens, its flavor intensifies, and it's got a really thin skin, so it actually begins to bruise and darken on the outside. But when you cut that pawpaw open, it's still going to have that vibrant, yellow, tropical-looking pulp.
What's it like to be on a book tour about a fruit that most people have never tasted?
It's a lot of fun. The book tour and also researching for the book is in a lot of ways, it's kind of like a treasure hunt. You know, I'm tracking down lost pawpaws, and now that I've found pawpaws, and I'm able to bring pawpaws to the people. So that's a lot of fun, actually.
Actually, pawpaws are pretty plentiful in the Midwest and the South. The tree on which they grow is very hardy in much of that area, that region. So why do so few people know about it? And tell me a little bit about the tree and the fruit itself.
Sure. Well, it's a rather long and kind of nuanced story about why we don't know this fruit and this tree, even though, as you mentioned, it's quite abundant across the United States. And to summarize that rather shortly for your listeners, is that when Americans knew pawpaws, we found them in the woods. And we went to the woods for a lot of things, for fruits, nuts, animals, all kinds of things. And so it was a process of when Americans stopped going to the woods for food, we stopped knowing about the pawpaw.
Tell me a little bit about what the tree looks like, where might it grow, things that might help us identify it.
I may be biased here, but it's a striking and beautiful tree. If you plant it in full sun, it has a pyramidal shape, and it's got these long, broad leaves that are among the largest in the eastern forests. And so it has lots of great ornamental value as well. And then this time of year, as we're coming into fall, the tree has a striking bright yellow foliage color. So it really stands out in the woods. When you're looking for pawpaws, you often find them growing along rivers and streams. And because of that, there's a lot of rivers and streams in the country named after the tree. And even in Michigan, there's a pawpaw river in the western portion of the state.
Also a pawpaw city.
That's right.
Being native and hardy, you write the pesticides are not really needed for pawpaws. I mean, that alone would seem to be a popular reason to raise organic pawpaws and offer them to people who are looking for local fruit. Has that had any effect on the fruit's popularity?
Sure it has. There's a lot of things that the pawpaw has going for it. You know, first of all, it's fun and exciting because it's novel and new. And, you know, obviously it's not actually new. It's been around for tens of thousands of years. But it's new to us as a culture, so that's exciting. But the other things that are exciting about it is, as you mentioned, it can be grown entirely organically. Thus far, it doesn't have pests and disease like our apples and peaches do. So it can be grown without the use of chemicals. And as organic agriculture and organic produce grows in favor with consumers, the pawpaw is a prime candidate for something that can be grown without any chemicals.
In your book, you trace a bit of the pawpaw's history. It sounds as though most Native American tribes in the Midwest and the South not only knew the fruit, but they celebrated it. They used it in lots of recipes. European settlers wrote about it, but it didn't quite catch on, at least not recently, despite being really tasty. And I'm wondering, as you put it in the book, why haven't pawpaws become as American as apple pie?
Right, yeah. And the earliest Native Americans, on through the European explorers, and Native Americans made use of all of the bounty of the woods. If it could be eaten, if it could be used as a tool, it was done so. And even European explorers and colonists and later Americans in the frontier, they ate the fruit as well. And as we mentioned earlier, it was a process of forgetting about the pawpaw. And it was as our food systems became, you know, more global, more industrial, the pawpaw didn't fit neatly in that mold. Sometimes the uglier a pawpaw, the better it tastes. So, you know, that's not something the supermarkets were going for in the middle of the last century. But just because it hasn't become more popular in our lifetime doesn't mean that it won't. There's lots of fruits that are continually brought to our attention, and we add them to our diets and our culture. So I think it's a matter of us getting around to the pawpaw, and I think we're actually in the midst of that process.
As we mentioned before, there's a city in Michigan named Pawpaw. There are a number of states have cities named Pawpaw, and as you mentioned, rivers and so forth. So we have all kinds of festivals celebrating pumpkins and apples, but I saw that I could only find an Ohio Pawpaw Festival and one in North Carolina, but not many more. In Pawpaw, Michigan, they celebrate wine during the harvest season, not the pawpaw. Why don't we see more pawpaw festivals?
Well, that's right. Yeah, you know, I've been to Pawpaw, Michigan. I've been to a number of these pawpaw towns, and when you go to Pawpaw, Michigan, you look at the water tower, and what's on there is grapes. Grapes are king there. It's a great region for growing grapes, so that's what's celebrated in that town. But I think it's changing. You mentioned the Ohio Festival. That is certainly the big daddy of pawpaw festivals. It's been around for 17 years, and the North Carolina Festival is growing steadily. But we're starting to see more. Big Stone Gap, Virginia, in the Appalachian Mountains, has a pawpaw festival in its second year. Rhode Island has a pawpaw festival. Maryland and even York, Pennsylvania has a pawpaw festival. So we're starting to see people celebrate it more and more. They've certainly not been around as long as our apple and pumpkin festivals, but they're coming.
Now, pawpaws don't have the same kind of shelf life that other fruits do. But, you know, I was thinking, well, this fruit might be really good for, I don't know, Pawpaw Gerber's baby food or processed pawpaw foods in the grocery store. What would it take for that fruit to become commercially viable?
It would take some experimentation and entrepreneurs to take that risk to, first of all, produce enough pawpaws to supply Gerber. But you're right. In many ways, it is a baby food off the tree. You know, we call it a custard apple. It's custard off a tree, but it's also baby food. So it's, you know, this mushy custard-like texture that would do well for that. And you mentioned just in general, baby food aside, processed pawpaws. There's a farmer in Ohio who does processed pawpaw pulp, and he freezes it, and you can actually order it online year-round. He has it available. But at this point, it's a matter of scale. You know, if it becomes a bigger crop or if more Americans want pawpaws, this one farmer in Ohio is going to have a hard time meeting the demand for a larger market. So it's a matter of more farmers taking the risk to put in, you know, lots more pawpaw trees. But we're starting to see more of that. There's certainly pawpaw growers in Michigan. There's a grower in Ann Arbor who is able to supply a creamery with enough pawpaw pulp that they have a pawpaw gelato year-round.
Yeah, I understand that the Zingerman's Roadhouse has that pawpaw gelato at their place, or maybe they make their own, I'm not sure. But I was told about this if I've been asking people around there. Now, we've talked about the texture, we've talked about the taste. Tell me about the nutritional value of pawpaws.
Pawpaws are high in nutrition. They're high in potassium, niacin, lots of vitamins. They're high in antioxidants, the same antioxidants that are found in red wine and chocolate. So it's, health-promoting nutrients. But the one thing about pawpaw is it's a new thing. We haven't had the same kind of thorough research that we've had on things like bananas and oranges and apples. So we're still determining a lot of what's inside a pawpaw. Some of the early analysis shows that it's very nutritious, but there's still more research to be done.
Historically, pawpaws were called the poor man's banana, which I find kind of funny because bananas, after being shipped thousands of miles, are about 59 cents a pound right now, and I paid nearly $16 a pound for my pawpaws the other day.
That
things have changed. Yeah. Is it just a matter of not very many of them around, that they're 27 times more expensive than bananas?
Not so much. The pawpaw is a fruit full of paradox, and this is one of them. It's a wild fruit that's abundant, and so if you were to know where to go to get wild fruit, you could find lots of it. As far as a commercial cultivated crop, there's fewer people growing it. There's dozens of nations that produce bananas, and so it's a global crop. So it's a matter of not having enough pawpaw producers. if there's only a handful of folks producing pawpaws on a farm, they're able to set a price that's, as you encountered, pretty high.
Yeah, with locavores around, the local foods trend, what kind of hope is there for a pawpaw resurgence in our part of the country?
I think the current climate, the locavore movement, the slow food movement, all of this bodes extremely well for the pawpaw. It's not a fruit that's going to ship across the country very well. It's not going to sit on the back of a truck and go from North Carolina to California. That's not what's going to happen. So what can happen and what we're seeing happen right now is people are growing a few trees on their small farms, and they're taking this fruit to farmers markets. They're taking the fruit to local food co-ops, and they're finding great response and great market that way. So just because the pawpaw isn't a poster child for big agriculture or for big distribution systems doesn't mean that it's not going to find a very welcome and very good home in these smaller and more local food systems.
And by the way, if you're a fan of seasonal fruit, now is the time to visit your farmers markets if you're interested in tasting a pawpaw and finding out what you can do with it. We've been speaking with Andrew Moore. He's written the book Pawpaw in Search of America's Forgotten Fruit. He'll be at the Argus Farm Stop in Ann Arbor on Friday. Thanks for talking with us.
Lester, it's a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Picking up pawpaws, put them in your pocket.
Picking up pawpaws, put them in your pocket.
Picking up pawpaws, put them in your pocket.
Way down under the pawpaw patch.
Where, oh, where is dear little Billy?
Where, oh, where is dear little Billy?
Where, oh, where is dear little Billy?
Way down under the pawpaw patch.
By the way, I mentioned pawpaws to a reporter friend, and his only reference to pawpaw was a Detroit Tigers baseball player, Charlie Pawpaw Maxwell, who played for the Tigers from 1955 to 1962.